Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Is your soul ready for the truth? Welcome to Be a Slayer, the award-winning spiritual podcast that takes on all the hard topics. Raw, unfiltered, and authentic. No spiritual or relationship issue is off limits. We discuss everything from sex and consent to equality, grief, death, and the spirit world. On Be a Slayer, we will unmask all the taboos. So if you're ready to get right with yourself so you can be right with others, then stay right here, because the Be a Slayer podcast is for you. Now, here's your host, spiritual empath, shaman, and multiple award-winning best-selling author, Tracy Dunblazer.
Welcome to Be a Slayer. This is the spiritual podcast taking on all the hard topics. I'm Tracy Dunblazer. For those of you just getting to know me, I'm a spiritual empath and spiritualist. I'm a shaman and a multi-award-winning author on spiritual topics, like relationships and grief. My most recent books are Transformative Grief, An Ancient Ritual of Healing, and Conquer Your Karmic Relationships, Heal Spiritual Trauma, to open your heart and restore your soul. And I bring those up because our topic today is a poignant one. Many people are experiencing a silent tragedy of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And today's show is called Battle Within, Confronting PTSD Head-On. The two books that I mentioned, if you're on your computer or on your phone, take a look, and they both have a lot of information on this topic. It really dives deep into spiritual trauma, mental, physical, emotional trauma, all the different ways in which we can experience a trauma that we might not be able to process until a later time, which is what PTSD is. So, more on that in a moment. So the purpose of our discussions here on Be a Slayer Radio aren't to necessarily get the listener to move the needle on their beliefs, but rather it's meant to offer an opportunity for all listeners to get a better understanding of the kaleidoscope of experiences that all of the topics I talk about here and the things that they trigger. Also, I want to give you tools, words, ideas, perspective on how to talk about difficult topics with other people and how to process the emotions that they often bring to the surface. So having said that, you'll see I have strong opinions always on any topic I speak about, but as many people do, so as a part of what I try to do here on the show is speak about all of our topics with respect and inclusivity. Even if I don't agree with the beliefs of others, everybody has their own experience, their own perspective, and if we can't really hear what someone else has to say, they're never going to hear what we have to say. So we all at some point need to process and work through our emotions in order to have a sustainable quality of life. So to get us started here, we're gonna talk about what is PTSD and PTSS. Now, PTSD is a post-traumatic stress disorder, and you might have recently heard more about PTSS, which is post-traumatic stress syndrome. Now, PTSS is a reaction to trauma that develops quickly. PTSD is different because it occurs months, years, and in my experience, sometimes lifetimes later. So it there's an extended period of time where somebody buries that emotion or never becomes in a safe enough condition, perspective, environment to be able to relax enough to feel what they feel about what happened. So how common is PTSD in adults? This stat comes from the National Center for PTSD. It's www.ptsd.va.gov if you want to check it out. They have lots of information for you. About 6 out of every 100 people, 6% of the U.S. population will have PTSD at some point in their lives. So many people who have PTSD they'll get treatment, they'll work out their grief, and they will recover and no longer meet the diagnostic criteria for PTSD. So this number counts people who have had PTSD at any point in their life, even if their symptoms have gone away. One of the reasons this topic is so powerful for me is I've experienced PTSD this whole life. I'm an empath because of my PTSD. I've had multiple spiritual traumas, and what that means is that I've had past life trauma. I've had experiences in lifetimes where I have died from violent causes. I've been drug addicted. I've been murdered. Right? I've had all of these experiences in past lifetimes and died in that condition and therefore unable to process that experience. And when somebody comes into this lifetime, we often see some of these symptoms in children. We often see it in teenagers or adults who have night terrors or dreams or other paranormal experiences. It's because their spirit is holding past life experiences that have gone unprocessed, unacknowledged, unaddressed. And then if you come into, for me, I was born psychic, empathic, clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient. I was all the clairs, and I was very well aware of it growing up. So I didn't share it with others. I don't know that my family knew. They thought I was weird. You know, it's always our joke that I was, you know, left here by an alien ship. You know, that was their way of acknowledging that there was something about me that they didn't quite understand, but they couldn't quite define it either. So, I appreciated that. To me, it was a sense of being acknowledged because these are special skills, special gifts. But they occurred because I was ultra hyper vigilant, which is one of the symptoms of PTSD, which we're going to get to in a little bit. So, in this lifetime, I experienced PTSD after being raped. I was 18. I was a virgin. I did not have the philosophy, interestingly enough, even with all of my spiritual trauma, right? It didn't occur to me that somebody would violate me in that way. You know, for me, even as a very young person, I was always aware of setting boundaries and, you know, you set your boundary and then people honor them. Not really. A criminal doesn't care. Right? So, having that experience, I'm gonna say, I mean, I definitely suffered PTSS and PTSD because there were certain symptoms, like rage, irritability, distrust, frustration, chronic frustration, overeating, right? There were all kinds of symptoms that I had directly after the assault. And then there were things that I experienced 2, 3, 4 years later, right? And continued to experience for many years later. So when we talk about PTSD, we experience certain events or situations or feelings, we allow ourselves to grieve when we feel safe to do so. I'm gonna be repeating that over and over and over again. as you will note, as we talk today. Just a little FYI, I've got a special guest with us today, Judah Freed. He has a laundry list of PTSD experiences, which is going to help us to really round out all the ways that a person can experience it, how it makes them respond, the perspective that it gives them, or lack thereof, right, by avoiding. So that's my PTSD experiences led me to want to feel my feelings. And because of the violent, even though my rape situation was a date. It was somebody that I liked. I trusted him, and it was a deep betrayal of trust. And it's interesting, even today, I still in my mind, it wasn't a violent attack from somebody I didn't know. I still differentiate the illusion of that somebody else's assault is worse than mine, which is probably a form of PTSD, right? There's a way that we learn to cope or to think about our situation. Interestingly, I say that out loud. Like when I counsel people, I would never tell another person that their rape was worse than so-and-so's rape or vice versa. Right? But I told myself that for a long time. Right? And I think that it's the subtlety of somebody betraying your trust in addition, to a violent assault. Right? That revealed itself in future relationships for me. It made it almost impossible to trust for a long time. So, PTSD can also be, reveal itself in one's ability to trust another person. So now we want to talk about coping strategies, and when somebody is working through their emotionalism of any situation, if they can't do it immediately, it's going to come out sooner or later in some other time and space. Again, when they're safe to do so. This is what we recognize as post-traumatic stress disorder. Some of the indicators of PTSD that may occur after one has experienced a trauma. Hold on. Excuse me. When you have these symptoms, it lets you know that you're ready to emotionally grieve what happened, or at least begin the process. So the first symptom to PTSD, and I used the word coping strategies earlier because these symptoms are in fact coping strategies. This is, number one on the list is reliving the trauma. Consistent flashbacks or reoccurring nightmares, right? Consciously, in our waking life, we can't really deal, but on an unconscious level, we're dreaming about it. When we're daydreaming about it, we're thinking about it. It's incessant running thoughts about it, right? That's a coping strategy. It's just one that's internal, and we feel like we control it. When we want to tell, if we talked about our experience with somebody else, then we have to deal with their relationship to our trauma, their feelings, their opinions, their perspective. And that may or may not be good, right? Like there was a reason why I didn't, I don't know what my, I think that my father, when I was a kid, if I had said to him I was having these nightmares, my dad died when I was 12, but I was having PTSD, spiritual trauma, nightmares my whole life. They were devastating, and I didn't tell anybody. And I think that if I had told him, I think he would have believed me. He was by all accounts, he had shown himself to be a more spiritual person than religious person. And he was into, like, Edgar Cayce and other spiritualists of his time. So I think I would have had support there. I think that my mom had grown up not religious, but they went to church. I think she just wouldn't have known what to do and would have felt bad about not knowing what to do or not knowing what was going on with me or whether or not it was true. I think that would have created conflict for her, right? And so having to, for a child to have to deal with a parent's conflict about their condition, not necessarily helpful, right? But that's, you can see as we begin to really dive into the topic, it's layered. And there are many different elements of it to uncover. So the second symptom is a chronic anxiety, a constant feeling of foreboding, stomach ache, headache, or worry. Right? When you have that hypervigilant, always on alert, always wide-eyed, white-knuckling it, trying to get through the day. The next symptom, avoidance. Yes, avoid talking about it, resisting talking about the circumstances to others, or anything associated with the event. One of the biggest avoidance tactics that I've seen people use is, you know that they were in a car accident, or they just got back from a tour of duty, or they're a cop or an EMT. And you say, wow, you know, that was a pretty heavy call that you had to deal with. How you doing? I'm good. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm fine. Nope, I'm great. No problems here. Right? The degree of quickness and force with which somebody responds to your bid to help, to have them speak about what they're experiencing is an immediate indicator that they're not yet ready. Their unconscious self is ready. They need to talk about it. They need to grieve it. But their mind will not allow it. And that's one of the things with PTSD. I mean, the reason why we have this conversation is because human beings have so many different facets to them. Our brains, everybody's brain works a little differently. Our brain chemistry. Every person has mental, emotional, and spiritual patterns that their brain supports. Right? So you might be a particularly mental person, and it's really difficult to feel anything. And so you have running thoughts and chronic anxiety. I am an empath, so I just cried. I couldn't really talk about it, and I didn't have the full picture of what I was grieving, especially as a younger person, so I just grieved and I cried myself to sleep every night, and then got up and went to school and was, you know, president of everything. You know, I overcompensated by participating in activities at school so that I didn't have to deal with the hard truth of the difficult night that I'd had before. Because I couldn't explain it to anybody. My father had died, and that was a slight justification to other people that I would have an excuse or a reason to grieve. I mean, and that's how people see it, as a reason or excuse to be able to cry and release your emotional feelings. But I wasn't able to communicate about it, and I think that's something that's really important for people to understand is that when somebody is experiencing PTSD, they don't necessarily have this information, they don't necessarily have the vocabulary or the perspective to be able to be objective and to talk about it, and to talk about it in the raw form that it exists, whether it's through rage, self-pity, deep grief, like all of those are very vulnerable emotions that most people try to withhold. They try to stuff them down. So Avoidance is that one. The next symptom is reduced emotional connection, right? So, you know, it's a subtle or obvious reduction of time and energy that you spend with other people or others that spend with you, and moving yourself into isolation, right? When you see somebody's had something bad that has happened in their life and they just stop calling or they stop responding to your call or they don't want to talk about it, and they just reduce the time and energy that they offer your relationship. The final symptom that we're going to talk about today is hypervigilance and arousal. And what that is exaggerated reactions in everyday situations that can include, but not limited to, startling easy, right? Being jumpy, hyper-awareness to one's environment, taking precautions to prevent more tragedy when somebody's experienced a person who has died of illness or they've been sick themselves. They have a hyper-awareness if you or they get the sniffles, sneezes, or other common symptoms. After my mom died, she had cancer. We walked her through her final days in about 9 months. And after that, if I was talking with my sister on the phone and I sneezed, she's like, "Oh my God, did you go to the doctor? Did you go to the doctor?" And I'm like, "No, it's allergy season. I'm good, really. It's okay." So that's our final symptom for the moment. We're going to get to children in the next segment. So tune back in after our few minutes of ads here on Be a Slayer Radio.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Demblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Demblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Demblazer. Available where books are sold.
The home for high-quality video is Vimeo. People who love videos love Vimeo. It's the community for indie filmmakers, popular entertainers, music videos. Even the White House posts high-def versions of its broadcasts on Vimeo. You can even upload and share your videos. So much to see, so little time. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Vimeo and get started seeing and sharing great entertainment now.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hi, welcome back to Be a Slayer Radio. This is Tracy Dunblazer, and we were just talking about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and how it shows in, we were just talking about the symptoms of adults, that adults experience, and that there are symptoms that children experience. They experience it a little differently. And so if you you are a kid, or you have a kid, or you know a kid who you are seeing symptoms like bedwetting, nightmares, crying over anything, refusing to or being unable to speak, and then also hyper-attachment to you or others, all of these are symptoms that a child who doesn't have the ability to express the nature of what's happening for them, deeper feelings. It's one of the reasons why any childhood trauma, usually as an adult, and it's become, I think every single person has to deal with their childhood wounds. More and more over the last few decades, we're more comfortable with mental health, mental self-care, therapy, spirituality, all the different meditation, all the different modalities that one might use to access and recognize some of the traumas that they carry from childhood. And the reason why we carry them from childhood is because if we don't have somebody at that time when the trauma happens to help us walk through the fact that it happened, to gain a sense of acceptance, and then to process our emotions about it, then we go into some of these symptoms like bedwetting and nightmares and crying and refusing to speak, right? Because we don't have, as a child, we don't necessarily have that skill set yet. So we need somebody to help us. So experiencing heightened anxiety during any recovery is natural. When you embrace your feelings of worry, it helps make them manageable. It is important to recognize that grief always follows the presence of feelings of apprehension. And when you can see that, you can allow the natural flow of emotion that will bring you relief, which comes from grief. Now, the last thing that we have a special guest today who is online with me now. His name is Judah Freed. And we're gonna talk to him shortly, but before we do, I want to talk a little bit about what it looks like for one to begin to process or to think differently about their PTSD. And I have a really great quote that comes from my book, Transformative Grief: An Ancient Ritual of Healing for Modern Times. And it's from a friend of mine. His name is Michael. And he, for more than 20 years, he has been an EMT, a firefighter, and now he's an emergency room EMT. And he really struggled with the amount of trauma that he was witnessing over and over and over again, right, in his work. And he recognized it took him about 5 years of dealing with this trauma on a daily basis. He recognized that he needed to transition his thinking and behavior as it regarded the traumas that he witnessed every day. And his quote to me was, "When you're in the medical field, you sign up for seeing things you could never have imagined dealing with in your life. You need a support system. You can't keep your experiences in, and you must talk to the people who work with you. At the beginning, I would find myself wondering about whether someone we brought into the ER survived or not, or how they ended up in the ambulance. One call I assisted on was a set of infant twins. One was not breathing, and we were unable to revive him. Those parents lost a child that day and then had to figure out how to continue taking care of the one left. I couldn't let it go. I myself had an infant at the time. And after that call, I found it nearly impossible to sleep at night without checking on him every few hours. eventually I had to learn to let go and to address my fears about the ways my work carried over into my life. I learned not to judge others, no matter their condition, and I stopped following up on people I'd treated. When you see 200 people a day, it's impossible to keep them all in your mind. Right, and that's one of the things that when we talk about trauma, it's how we hold what has happened to us in our mind. And if it only stays in our mind or it only stays in our heart and we never allow it to see the light of day, we have a tendency to trivialize it. Trivializing trauma is, it's the bridge, right? You know, the Shakespeare term, thou dost protest too much, right? When anybody shows any resistance, especially a quick and fiery resistance to feeling something or experiencing something or giving something a notable credit that it had an impact, right? When we want to trivialize the situation and we chalk it up to our lessons learned in life, we don't necessarily... We're not able yet to recognize the value of what that event has brought to us because we've not allowed ourselves to grieve the pain of having had the experience, right? Because when we experience trauma, there's the event, then there is our relationship to the event, and once we've processed our emotions, the way we feel and the way we think about what happened to us, then we can recognize how we have transformed or transitioned into a new perspective that most certainly supports us in some way. So, having said that, I am going to, I'm going to introduce Judah here, and then we're almost done with our segment. So, Judah is a multiple award-winning author. Judah Fried, he's the author of Making Global Sense, Grounded Hope for Democracy, and The Earth, inspired by Thomas Paine's Common Sense. The award-winning book weaves essay and memoir to share how he's recovered from repeated traumas in life to evolve a global sense of our oneness that empowers him for everything from social activism to facing cancer. His website is globalsense.com. So, welcome, Judah. It's so good to have you here today.
Thank you for the invitation to be here.
Yes, indeed. So I know it's kind of silly, but I wanted to introduce you, get people so they could think a little about, maybe check out your book or check out your website at globalsense.com. But we are going to go to another commercial break, and then I'm going to see you in a few minutes. And we're going to talk fully about your book and about your experiences. So thank you, Judah, for being here. And everybody stay tuned for BS Layer Radio. And we're going to get to the real what's going on with Judah when we come back.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master your inner world. Embrace your power with joy. Brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history. Own your power. and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Be a Slayer Radio. This is Tracy Dunblazer, and today I've got a special guest. We're talking about the battle within, taking on PTSD head-on, and we're speaking to Judah Freed. He's a multiple award-winning author and all-around amazing human. Hi, Judah.
Hello.
We've known each other for a few years, and mm-hmm. I know that when you have colleagues and friends that you see once a year, or a few times a year, you have interactions over email. You never really know what somebody's going through or what they've been through, right? So when I told you I was doing this show and you said, well, I'd love to speak to you, and you had this laundry list of experiences, and it just was a powerful reminder, right? A laundry list of these experiences that were traumatic in your life. That's the thing that I knew in my mind, but I didn't say out loud to our reader, to our listeners, is, you know, we see people usually in their best, or if we see them over, you know, we can use our imagination when we're communicating over emails, but it's so easy to not take stock that every human being has some really profound experiences. So tell me a little bit about your relationship to PTSD. Tell me some of the events that have happened that you've had to walk through.
Okay. So in some ways it started in the womb. Without going into detail on story, there was issues with my mom that she experienced emotionally. It wasn't that she didn't love me, she just couldn't deal with another child. And so I grew up from the time of birth on feeling that I wasn't really wanted. And that set in some traumas to begin with. And then my father, who had his own traumas, was abusive as I got older. And that set in traumas. And then bullying in school, I became a target because I was so insecure. And that set in traumas. And then I had lots of health issues. Which set trauma going. Mm-hmm. And, in the early 20s, I got involved with a religious cult and was in there for almost 3 years. And I finally walked out of my own when I decided I was going to reclaim my own mind instead of just believing what I was told to believe. And that was a major trauma that actually set me into looking into issues around self-rule and authority addiction, and a lot of the issues that are in my book, talking about what liberty actually is in terms of responsibility we take inside ourselves for ourselves.
Right.
So those are some of the ones that I've had. I've had career traumas. I've had gone through deep love a number of times that broke up, and those are traumatic. I've gone through a marriage broke up that actually wasn't that traumatic because we did the inner work to remain deep friends. Have gone through certainly in the last 8 years a serious mm-hmm. health crisis. I've had in 2016 I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, which I've gone through 2 extended periods of remission, and now I'm back in it again and about to start a brand new therapy next week, and I have no idea whether or not that's going to go easily or traumatic. I don't
right.
know.
So that's really powerful, and you mentioned being in a cult,
mm-hmm.
right? And the idea of liberty, truly being free, but most of all, taking authority over yourself and your own life, your own heart and brain. Having had that experience of being in the cult and then getting out of the cult. At what point, like how much time do you think passed before you felt free enough to recognize your role in that and then to grieve it?
I started recognizing my role in it probably within a year to a year and a half. Because once I identified the trait of authority addiction, which is that compulsive reliance on any source of authority outside the self. And that
mm-hmm.
could be a book, could be a person, could be an idea or an ideal. Any authority outside the self. Could be a drug, could be wealth, could be power. For me, it was a surrogate father figure. But once I saw that that's what was going on, and I had to write about it to get to that clarity, once I saw what was going on, then the process was realizing how it affected me. And realizing
right.
how I made fundamental choices. I had a rich uncle in San Francisco who played an instrumental role in me walking away from the cult. He asked, do you believe because you believe or do you believe because you want to believe?
Right.
And I realized that I was believing because I wanted the acceptance of that community. I wanted the love I felt in that community. I wanted the security I felt. Even though later when I analyzed it, the belief system was irrational. But it was just plausible enough to hook me in. But what really hooked me was
right.
that feeling of love that I wasn't finding inside myself. So
yes.
I think that's probably the deepest trauma that we all share is a lack of self-love. And I'm not meaning physical self-love. I mean emotional and spiritual self-love.
Right.
And
like a sense of self-acceptance.
Yes. Self-esteem, self-acceptance, those are lots of words for it. And for me, the biggest issue that I felt with dealing with PTSD from all the different sources I've had has been the problem with disassociation. Or detachment. You know, that
mm-hmm.
Some people will repeat a trauma and rehearse it in their minds again and again and again and again. I've done some of that. I know what that looks like and feels like. But I'm more disconnected, either
yes.
emotionally or intellectually or spiritually, energetically from whatever is the source of that trauma. And that was the ruse that I used to keep myself safe. But it wasn't really safety because I wasn't dealing with the core trauma.
Right. That's a really... I want to talk more about disassociation and all the ways that that can look. We're going to go into another commercial break here, but I've had many, many clients who I think that I in multiple lifetimes was very disassociated and was unable to grieve. So in this lifetime, I've been hypervigilant. I want to talk more about it in our next segment. So everybody stay tuned. This is Via Slayer Radio, and we're going to get back with Judah Freed shortly. And I am Tracy Dunblazer, so stay with us.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. And they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Be a Slayer Radio. This is Tracy Dunblazer here, and we were just talking with Judah Freed. He is the award-winning author of Global Sense, Grounded Hope for Democracy and the Earth Inspired by Thomas Paine's Common Sense. And Judah and I were just talking about how when you experience a trauma, a natural response to that trauma when you are unable to grieve, unable to process, is that you disassociate. And some people experience it, if they're having a physical trauma and they're on the operating table and they float out of their body and they're looking at themselves, right? Or if they've experienced violence, or abuse, that's another, I've worked with many people who have literally left their bodies and just watched what was happening, watched the action from afar. How did you experience being disassociated, and what was the cause of that disassociation? Like, what was the trauma that occurred that led to that disassociation, Judah?
Well, I use the house crisis as an example. I've been through three hospitalizations and two major surgeries, open surgeries. And the first surgery where they removed my left kidney, that by then was about the size of a cantaloupe, I dealt with that trauma by really sinking deeply into my spirituality and doing what I could medically, but the main thing I had to do was just connect to spirit. And at the time I was living in Kauai, so that was very easy to do with all the beauty around me there.
Mm-hmm.
second surgery, in some ways, is more traumatic. They took out the central vein up to my heart. And fortunately, I'd already started growing collateral veins, so I didn't like to see my python. I ain't dead yet. But
yes, indeed.
It was interesting. When I came out of that second surgery, when I was in that twilight state of just coming out of anesthesia, there was a moment when I realized I actually had a choice of whether or not to take the next breath.
Mm.
It was that clear. And I asked myself, okay, what do I need to stay alive for? And as much as I loved my wife at the time, the answer I got was my book. I saw a picture of the cover. I saw the phrase, making global sense, in front of my mind's eye. And I knew I had to finish it. I had to get those ideas out, get Paine's ideas out into the world, because I think 18th century enlightenment now can help with 21st century enlightenment.
Right.
And once I made that fundamental choice, that relieved most of the trauma, because I was no longer running from being alive.
Yeah.
I was making a clear choice. Okay, I'm going to stay here and do the work. I still have traumas, you know, small, large, everything from, you know, job stuff that blew up, normal kinds of things that people go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, personal interactions, you know, could have somebody that, you know, they're caught up in their own pain and they don't think about how their ire lands on me, or I get caught up in my pain and I don't pay attention to how my ire lands on them. Those are some of the little daily traumas that we have. And as long as I can stay connected to that global sense of our oneness, that feeling that I am light being me and everything, that feeling that although I can be a unique individual, and I am a unique individual, I'm also part of everything. That every thought, word, feeling, emotion, deed, gesture, facial expression, it has a ripple. And there's a certain trauma that comes with that recognition of responsibility for my consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a certain relief because of that, because with ownership of the pain and of the fear and ownership of the worry, it loses power over me. Mostly.
Absolutely. I think that you hit the nail right on the head, because I think that when you make the choice to live, right, or to continue in whatever, you now are empowered to heal. And that's one of the things I think about grieving. When we grieve, we're healing, right? We're processing, we're integrating all of our wisdom, all of our energy, all of our information, our events, and we're integrating it into the person that we are, and we are becoming someone new when we do that. And we're becoming someone new with a whole other level of authority, because we become the authority of our life, right?
Ultimately. Interestingly enough, several decades ago, I had a privilege to do some work with Barbara Marks. Not Barbara Marks, but I worked with her too, but Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who deals with death and dying and grieving and the five stages of grief. And she told a story about an experience she had where she, in spirit, crossed over to the other side and had a chance to look at herself as if she had died, and talked about that process and grieving her own stuff. And my takeaway from that conversation, it still stays with me, is that, well, she used the metaphor of the butterfly, the cocoon metamorphosis that we go through. And for me, if I am hanging on to my grief, my pain, my wounding, it stays inside my body and festers.
Right.
And it manifests as cancer. It manifests as car accidents. It manifests as any kind of relationship disruption, job disruption. Because whatever's going on inside us, we're going to project out in the world and attract that to us. At least that's
right.
What I do. And so if I don't process my pain, it just harms me. And I can have anger at another person. It doesn't harm them at all. Well, vibrationally, it doesn't
hurt
injury, but it mainly hurts me. You know, carrying grudges, it only hurts the one who, not when I feel resentful of it, hurts me. And so
absolutely,
the more I practice forgiveness, the better off I am.
Absolutely. I think that, and to clarify something, when we talk about, you know, if you don't experience your feelings or process your feelings and they turn into these things, that is not on any level to place blame, that someone who gets sick is at fault for their illness. That's not the understanding. The understanding is that in any situation you have more power and authority than you have given yourself thus far. Right?
It's a very strange dichotomy because on the one
hand,
on the one hand, we are all co-creators of reality for ourselves and shared reality with others. And so in that respect, as being the generators of our own reality, there are no victims. And,
right.
And, but at the same token, if somebody walks up to me on the street and punches me in the nose, yeah, I can say, okay, what did I do to attract that to myself? But on the other hand, that person can have his own stuff going on that had absolutely nothing to do with me.
Right. Absolutely.
And so that's where empathy comes in. And
it does.
So that global
Judah,
sensibility is what gives me the empathy part more than anything.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been a wonderful conversation, and I know that people are going to take a lot from it. I appreciate you. I hope people go out and buy your book, Making Global Sense. Go out and buy my book, Transformative Grief. And definitely tune in next month to Be a Slayer Radio. I'll have something really special for you next week or next month, and have a magnificent rest of your week.
You've been listening to Be a Slayer, the award-winning spiritual podcast with your host, Tracy Dunblazer. Join us next time as we continue unmasking the taboo through more in-depth conversations about life and relationships. Thanks for listening.